I would like us this evening to consider the second verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There in verse 2, after Paul has mentioned that the grace of God was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, he then goes on to say how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And I want to speak this evening upon missionary support, supporting our missionaries on the mission field, even as the churches in Macedonia supported the missionary venture that the Apostle Paul and others were involved in. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians about the churches in Macedonia, he was referring to those congregations in Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. And the Apostle tells us that the grace of God was bestowed upon those churches there in Macedonia. The word bestowed here is used and employed by the Apostle John. It's found in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, where God has bestowed His love upon us, whereby we are made the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And so there we read about love being bestowed upon the sons of God here. It is grace. The word means to give. The word means to give with the implied idea of giving freely. So the churches of Macedonia had the grace of God freely bestowed upon them. In fact, the literal reading is, the grace of God, which hath been given in the churches of Macedonia. That is very important for us to know that. The grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. And so the grace of God was seen, was manifested in those churches in Macedonia. Now you may visit some churches today, and I would guarantee you that you wouldn't see much of the grace of God in those churches. But here in the churches in Macedonia, the grace of God was very much in those congregations. And where the grace of God abounds among God's people, it will manifest itself. It will manifest itself. God's grace in the Macedonian churches was especially seen in the way that they gave to the Lord's work, and more specifically, their giving to missionary work. And I'm very thankful for the giving of God's people in this church never ceases to amaze me. We have a relatively small congregation, and yet the giving of this congregation is indeed quite wonderful. It is very evident that the grace of God is in this church. And we thank the Lord for that. And as we look at the churches in Macedonia as mentioned here by the Apostle Paul, we can see from our reading that they gave financial support to the Apostle, the great missionary, as he went from place to place ministering the word. It is no wonder then that the Apostle draws the attention of the Corinthians to the Macedonian churches, wanting the church at Corinth to be like-minded with the churches in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea. Paul wanted the church at Corinth to have this same missionary zeal and the same missionary vision and the same missionary burden. And he wanted the church at Corinth to give to missionary work even as the Macedonian churches gave. So let us consider them, the churches that had this wonderful missionary vision and gave to the work of missionaries. First of all, we have their consideration and how they considered giving to missionary work. They considered the work of missionaries. Namely, they considered the work of the Apostle Paul and the work that he was involved in. There are some churches whose people are very missionary-minded. They regularly contribute to those who are taking the gospel message to people in far-off lands. I was speaking to a brother in the Lord this past week, and I was saying to him, "Do you never think about coming back to Canada again and paying us a visit?" And this brother said that the Lord had dealt with his heart. And he said he thought to himself, "Well, the money that I spend on plane fares to Canada, he says I could use that money to support missionaries." He says, "That's what I've done." He says, "I'll not be visiting Canada again, because I've given that money that I would spend on a yearly basis, I've given it all to missionaries. And in particular to the work of the Reverend Alan Dunlop in Kenya, where he has set up an orphanage and a clinic. And there he's caring for children, and this brother has used his money to care for 3 children in the orphanage there. That man has a missionary vision and a burden. And so had the saints and the churches in Macedonia. They considered missionary work. They thought about it. And they contributed to that work. The Corinthians, on the other hand, had thought about it. Paul here mentions in their reading, they thought about it a year ago, but they hadn't done anything about it. There was a will, but there wasn't a doing. And Paul wanted to see the will, and he wanted to see the doing as well. First of all, concerning the churches in Macedonia, we note their testimony. The fact that Paul mentions these churches in order to stir up the Corinthians to be like-minded is a testimony to their missionary spirit. Paul uses the churches in Macedonia as an example in an attempt to stir up the hearts of God's people in Corinth. Not only does Paul mention their giving to missionary work here, but elsewhere also. Look at chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11 and verse 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, so will I keep myself. And so Paul here says there was that time when I had a great need. But who supplied my need? The brethren of Macedonia. They were the ones that supplied my need. Look at Philippians, one of the Macedonian churches. In Philippians chapter 4. There in Philippians 4, we read in verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Once again, Macedonian churches. The Macedonian brethren. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica ye said what ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. And there in 2 Thessalonians, the giving of the Macedonian churches is mentioned again, chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. We often say charity begins at home. Well, we can see that charity was found here in this home church, in this church in Thessalonica, but being one of the Macedonian churches, they also communicated with Paul and supported Paul. They were charitable towards the apostle as well. They had this wonderful testimony that they were a missionary-minded church or churches. We see from these verses the interest they had in those who sowed the good seed of the gospel. Let us pray the Lord will increase our interest in our missionaries and those who go away from home and family and friends to take the gospel to those who have never heard. Our brother, Mr. Noel Stevenson, child evangelist in Dr. Paisley's church in the Martyrs Memorial in Belfast, left Ulster just last week. They had a farewell service for him, and he's going out to the Philippines for 8 months. He's going out there to evangelize and reach the children of the Philippines, to reach them with the gospel. He's been out before and God has challenged him, and he was given permission to leave his children's work in Belfast with another and go to the Philippines and go alone and bring the gospel to the boys and girls there in the Philippines. Oh, that our interest in our missionaries would increase. Note also, we see in these verses that the saints in the churches were instruments in God's hand to supply the wants of God's servants. Look again at Philippians chapter 4. There in Philippians 4 and verse 15, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." And so they communicated with Paul and they supported Paul. But these churches were mere instruments in the hand of God to supply and meet the need of God's servants. Because Paul testifies to that in verse 19 of the same chapter, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God had supplied the need of Paul through the Macedonian brethren. And Paul says, the Lord who supplied my need will supply your need also. The Lord was pleased to use the Macedonian churches. They were mere instruments in the hand of God to meet the need of God's servants and God's missionaries. What an honor this is, to be used of God, to be instruments in His hand to meet the need of others. That was their testimony. And then we notice also their trials. Paul mentions their trials. 2 Corinthians again, chapter 8, verse 2, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Look at verse 4, "praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." We find that they sent this gift to Paul at a time when they themselves, as churches, were going through great trials. There are some in this world today who adopt an attitude of, "Oh, don't tell me your troubles. I've got troubles of my own." They don't want to hear about the troubles of others because they have troubles of their own. Thankfully, that worldly spirit was not to be found in the churches in Macedonia. They had their troubles. They had their trials. And they were interested in the troubles and in the trials of others. Specifically in the troubles and trials of Paul. So they didn't turn the blind eye to Paul and his need or turn a deaf ear. But rather in their trials, they still supported the apostle and those who were engaged in sowing the good seed of the gospel. They had been suffering great trials of affliction, yet they still remembered the sufferings of God's servants as they spread the gospel. For you see, the churches in Macedonia could identify with Paul. The churches in Macedonia knew that wherever the gospel was preached, there would be trial and tribulation and trouble. Turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Again, we have here one of the Macedonian churches. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And there we read in the opening verse, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. And now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. And so the church there at Thessalonica was very aware of what Paul was going through, because he was spreading the good news of the gospel. They were aware of what Paul was suffering. And Paul here gives thanks to God for their charity. Their charity. They were charitable towards the apostle. When trouble came their way, because they received the gospel in much affliction, they identified with Paul, because he was preaching the gospel in much affliction. They knew what it was like. And so we find that they gave themselves to supporting the apostle. And they, because they had troubles, didn't mean they didn't want to know about the troubles of Paul. Rather, in their time of trouble and trial, they sent this gift on to the apostle to help him as he spread the good news of the gospel. Let us not allow our circumstances to blot out the needs of our missionaries and those who have gone away to preach the word to those who have never heard. It is indeed easy for us to forget our missionaries, out of sight, out of mind. Not so with the churches in Macedonia. Paul was out of sight, but most assuredly he was not out of mind. And then you have their task. Their support of the Apostle Paul and his missionary venture seemed to be a ministry or a task these churches undertook for the Lord. They were determined to stick to their task. We've already noted, not only here in 2 Corinthians, but in Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians and his epistle to the Philippians, how the churches in Macedonia supported the apostle through all their trials. This was a ministry that they wanted to do for the Lord. In spite of their own circumstances and their own difficulties, they remained faithful in their support of this great apostle and his missionary ventures. Once again, we remind ourselves what Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me. The Macedonian brethren had remained faithful. It was the Macedonian brethren. They stuck to their task and remained faithful in their support of the apostle. And so we have their consideration. And then we have their contribution to missionary work. We're not told exactly what they gave to Paul. We're just told here that it was a gift. It must have been a great gift when we consider the hour that they gave it. They contributed to the work that Paul was doing in their hour of deepest poverty. Does that not make their gift a great gift? What did Paul say? How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Or those words mean their poverty went to the depths. They were in deep poverty. They were suffering affliction for the cause of Christ. They had lost possessions and perhaps business. They were in a state of deep poverty. Nevertheless, they gave bountifully. Now, but Paul said in verse 3, for to their power or their ability I bear record, yea, and beyond their ability, they were willing of themselves, they willingly gave. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. The fact that they were in a state of deep poverty. And Paul testifies of the gift that they gave. Emphasizes how great that gift must have been. And how much Paul appreciated that gift. When he recognized and was aware of the circumstances that the churches in Macedonia found themselves in. A state of deep poverty, but they didn't forget the missionaries. They were in a state of deep poverty, but they didn't forget Paul. They went out to preach the word. Turn please to Luke chapter 21. There in Luke 21, we read about the widow and her two mites. And he looked up, verse 1, and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow. He saw. The Lord saw the widow. He saw the rich man. But he didn't overlook the widow. He saw also a certain poor widow. Like the churches in Macedonia. They were poor. This woman, this poor widow woman, casting in thither two mites. One mite is a tenth of a penny. One mite is a tenth of a penny. It's not very much, is it? Many times do you find a penny or a cent lying on the ground and you'd hardly pick it up. You say, what could I get with a penny? This woman gave 2/10 of a penny. Wasn't much. But what did the Lord say about it? In verse 3, of a truth I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. She has cast in more than all the rich men. 2/10 of a penny. In the eyes of the Lord was more than all that the rich men had cast into the treasury. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And the Lord took note of it. And the Lord has honored her. Here she is mentioned in Luke 21. He has honored her by putting her in the Word of God. The inspired Word records what that widow did. The Lord takes note of it. And the Lord took note of what the Macedonian churches did. Their contribution is seen here in the hour that they gave their contribution and in their happiness. Why, when we look at those, or the words of that verse 2, our text tonight, these words don't belong in the philosophy of the world. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, joy and poverty is found in the same line. And what does the world tell us? The world tells us today, that's impossible. The world tells us today it's impossible for someone to be in the depths of poverty and at the same time to be happy, to be filled with joy. See, that's what the grace of God is able to do. That's why Paul said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. That's what the grace of God can do. As far as the world is concerned, happiness is to be found in riches. Happiness is to be found in possessing the winning lottery ticket. So they see happiness to be found. And yet here we have the churches in Macedonia, and they were in the depths of poverty, and at the same time they were happy. Because you see, their happiness didn't come from their worldly possessions. They didn't have any. So where was their happiness based? It was in the Lord. It was in Christ. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Blessed or happy is that man whose transgressions have been forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed, theirs where happiness lies. For in Jesus Christ there's happiness and there's joy, yea, there's everlasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee. And my, when they gave to the missionary work, they did it out of a joyful heart. Not begrudgingly. They weren't forced to do it. There would have been an excuse, because they could have said, well, we're in the depths of poverty. But they didn't use that as an excuse. They gave out of the abundance of the joy that was in their heart. The abundance of joy. Their joy was overflowing. And when they gave to Paul and to the missionary work, they did it joyfully. Look at 2 Corinthians 9. In verse 6, Paul is still on the same theme. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. My, the Lord loved the churches in Macedonia. Why? Because they were cheerful givers. our hearts abounding with joy. I'm sure you're aware of the meaning of the word cheerful. The word may be translated hilarious. They were hilarious givers. It wasn't a hint of sadness regarding their parting with their money. Rather, they gave, and they gave cheerfully and hilariously. They laughed as they gave. So it was with the churches in Macedonia. So when these churches gave to Paul and his missionary work, they did so joyfully. Remember the meaning of the word bestowed? The Lord had bestowed His grace on the churches. Macedonia, the word bestowed means to give, and it means to give freely. He gave His grace to the churches in Macedonia, and He gave freely. How then did the churches in Macedonia give? They gave freely. As the Lord gave to them, so they gave to the Lord. As freely as they had received, so they freely gave. That's the grace of God at work in the heart of God's people. Then we notice something else. Notice their help. Notice how their giving helped the work of God. We read in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 8, praying us with much entreaty. In other words, they gave this gift to Paul and they prayed with much entreaty. They said to Paul, we are giving you this gift, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship. The fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, they're saying, Paul, we're giving you this gift to help you as you preach the gospel. We can go with you. But in the giving of this gift, we're helping you to spread the gospel, and it will be as though we're right there with you. We're fellowshipping with you in the ministry, in your ministering to the saints. They couldn't go physically. But they, through their gift, they were there in spirit. And they were there right beside Paul. They were saying, Paul, we're standing right beside you. We may not be able to go to Kenya and help our sister, Miss Margaret Russell. Brother Reverend Allen Dunlop and his work. We may not be able to go to the Spain and help the Boyds or the Hannas. But my, we can do as the churches in Macedonia did with Paul. We can support them. And in supporting them, we'll be helping them. Be as if we're standing right beside them. Saying, brother, sister, we are with you. We're going to help you spread the good news of the gospel. Turn, please, to Romans 15. There in Romans 15, we're told by Paul how we may support and stand with our missionaries, and indeed our ministers who have gone away from home to minister the word. Received an email this week from the Tinsleys. They were down in Jamaica. Then they went back to Ulster. Well, they're now in Australia. And our brother Colin is ministering in our church in Lock, in Australia. He's far from home. How may we support him? By the way that we have already outlined, and also verse 30 of Romans 15. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me, in your prayers to God for me. Strive with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul is saying you're helping me when you pray for me. Paul is saying you're standing beside me when you're praying for me. You're ministering with me when you're praying for me. So we can support God's servants with our prayers and our pennies, with our supplications and with our silver. Then finally you have, regarding the churches, Macedonia, their consecration to missionary work. They were consecrated, dedicated to missionary work. We read in verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Notice those three words, take upon us, are in italics. Translators put them in there to help give some sense to the verse. But we can easily leave them out because they're not in the original. And when you do so, you can get a hold then of what these saints had in mind. Praying us with much entreaty and that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints and receiving the gift, they would be fellowshipping with Paul in his ministering to the saints. They would be standing with Paul, fellowshipping with him in this great work of preaching the gospel. And then Paul goes on to say, verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. There's their consecration. Saints in these churches were sold out to the Lord. Paul here says they went beyond what we expected of them. They did more than what we expected. What did they do? They first gave their own selves to the Lord. They hadn't been called to be missionaries. They hadn't been called to go with Paul. They hadn't been called to go to some far off land. But that didn't keep them from giving. Notice again, they're giving. They're still giving. That didn't keep them from giving of their own selves to the Lord. And dear child of God, that's where we all must come to. Give ourselves to the Lord first. Each year, at the Easter Convention in Dr. Paisley's church, the Saturday night meeting, it's always a missionary meeting. Missionaries home in furlough will speak about their work. And then a missionary challenge is given, message is preached. And young men and young women often will come forward and they will dedicate themselves afresh to the Lord. Out of the dozens of the young people who come forward, There may only be one or two, maybe not even any. And the Lord will call to be ministers of the gospel or missionaries. But what they have done, they have given themselves to the Lord first of all. They've left their all upon the altar. And they've said, Lord, if thou dost want me to serve thee, here I am. I give myself to thee first of all. May we all give ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. When they did that, they gave everything. When they did that, it was then easy to give out of their deep poverty. They gave their own selves to the Lord, and they gave their own selves unto Paul. They surrendered their all to the Lord, and they supported Paul, who was the laborer in the Lord's harvest field. They supported God's laborer. Let us support God's laborers. Whatever way we can, they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Aye, there's much to be admired about those churches in Macedonia. Much to be admired. Giving of their own selves to the Lord first of all, and supporting God's servant, God's missionary, and doing it all by the will of God. They were living in the will of God, the center of the will of God. May the Lord make us like the saints in those churches in Macedonia. May we first give our own selves to the Lord. Then support God's servants and seek to live each day in the center of God's will. May the Lord make us a missionary-minded church. May the Lord give us a greater vision, a greater missionary vision, and help us to help those who have gone to places but we cannot go. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening. Let us bow in prayer. Most gracious God and eternal Father, we just pray tonight that Thy Lord would write Thy word in our hearts. And even, Lord, as we have been singing tonight already, while there are heathen in far off lands, yet there are heathen that are in their homes next door to us. Gracious Lord, we pray Thou will give us a missionary vision. A vision for the lost. For where there is no vision, the people perish. Dear Lord, help us to support those servants of Thine who have left all and who they themselves have given their all to the Lord first of all. Bless our brother Stevenson out in the Philippines, and our brother Dunlop in Kenya, and Miss Russell and the Gillespies. And dear Lord, remember the Hannahs and the Boyds in Spain. Remember, Lord, the Tinsleys in Australia. And those, Lord, that are even now preparing to go, we pray, our God, that Thou will make the way plain for them. And grant, Lord, in this day, when the number of missionaries on the mission field is diminishing, may more young men and young women be called to go and spread the gospel message to those who have never heard. We thank You, Lord, for men like our brother, Dr. Bill Woods. And, O Lord, even as he's coming to near the end of the service, we pray, Lord, Thou will send forth others to take his place. That, Lord, there not be a vacancy there in Brazil. O gracious Lord, do a work, we pray, in our hearts. Be with us, Lord, this evening as we leave the house of God. May we go home, Lord, in safety and with Thy blessing upon us, and Thy guiding hand leading us, and with the word of the Lord in our hearts and our minds stead upon Jehovah. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.